Welcome to the Goracom podcast, where investors discover great small cap companies. Thank you for taking a Goracom with you, and make sure to follow our podcast.
Welcome to Beyond the Press Release, a production of Goracom, in which we take the time to speak with small cap executives after they put out important news. Guys, if you know that the demand for silicon is projected to surpass $15 to $20 billion by 2025, that's just a couple of years from now, and by 2030, add on another $15 billion for silicone-based anode material. You're going to love this interview with Bernard Tourillon, CEO of HPQ Silicon, which trades in Canada, HPQ, for French in the U.S. under HPQFF. Why are they such a big threat to the industry? The conventional silicon manufacturing process is expensive, energy-intensive, and that's because it was invented in 1899. And today, silicon production is the largest CO2 emitter among all metals and non-ferrous metals. HPQ's PureVap quartz reduction reactor process produces silicon cheaper and with zero CO2 emissions. More than just lip service, multiple NDAs over the last several years. And today, the press release we're talking about is first sample of HPQ-produced commercial-grade fume silica delivered to a third party. Bernard, you're so busy, you can't be looking at the screen during the intro.
No, it's because...
buddy.
It wasn't that. Like, you talked about, like, silicone. We're talking about fume silica here. Like, it's another billion-dollar market. I was just trying to get myself the exact number because, like, silicone, I know the exact number, but anyway, it's big. It's multi-billion dollars. It's a very nice market. And what's interesting, it is one of the offtake agreement of silicone that is used traditionally to make fume silicone, which is why fume silica has a terrible carbon footprint and environmental footprint until we came around.
So, first of all, It's your first samples of commercial grade fume silica, and you're delivered to a third party. How big is this? How happy are you? And how happy should shareholders be? Because I read that press release and it was beaming with confidence.
Well, I've always been extremely confident about the fume silica project. This is one that we have kept more under the radar, mostly because, you know, as I often said, sometime when you build, you know, lab scale system and do those type of tests, it looks like paint drying. So I didn't talk too much about it, but we hit our stride and we're moving very, very fast. I've always hoped that this would happen. Okay. I also hope that it would happen sooner, but I always hope that we would be in a position where people start to realize that the QRR in HPQ, as no matter how fantastic it is and great the potential is not the only thing. You remember my joke about not being a one horse pony or something like that? In reality, it's one trick pony.
Okay. You always messed it up, but we got it.
We finally figured it out. I've made other messed up in other conversation, but we'll talk about them in other days when we have more time. But this is the perfect position to be in, okay? If investors that do a deep dive in HPQ, okay, watch the video that we've made public last year. I always talk that we have three different initiatives that we're working on, all right? First one, silicone. That one is bifocal in the sense that we can either become the silicone manufacturer replacement, okay, and then use that material to make silicone anode material. That's a big market, very interesting, very great. That's a company builder. Fume silica, probably as massive, more company builder, and the way I'm
seeing... A bigger company maker than the silicone side?
Probably in the sense that it could be much faster. Right. It's not the same scale up. Like without going too much details, the scaling up of the QRR was 2,500%. That was a massive scale up. Now the plan I present in this press release, we're talking about normal scaling up, and we already achieved making commercial grade material. Now we've done that with the Gen 2. We were making silicone metal, right? But the differential between our process in the silicone, although massive, okay, is nothing compared to the differential in our fumed silica. If you put like our great, you know, competitive advantage for silicone at this, okay, the one for fumed silica is like this. And I've said that many, many times. It's a no-brainer. If we make material that's commercial grade, they will come. For the very simple reason that making 1 tons require 110, 115 kilowatt per hour in the entire process. You reject massive environment thing. It is rare that you have in an industry that's this mature, such a drastic change. And we've proven with these lab scale tests that we can take quartz, use plasma, and make fumed silica of commercial quality.
How big is that competitive advantage? Because you talk about in the press release that the and big enough that a third party has asked you to deliver samples. What can you tell us about the third party? I know you can't release names and specifics, but give us a sense of who the profile of the third party.
I think when we did the interview in at the you know, when you're at the beach, when you're at the beach, you're in the interview at the beach. I think what I mentioned is they're all like massive billion-dollar companies that are looking into, because these are, this is an industry that is mature, okay, with massive barriers to entry to enter, okay, massive. If you look at the silicone metal, it's $300 million plus, okay? It's not anybody that can come along and become, it's $300 million just for the equipment. Right. Then you need 6 tons of raw material, multiply by 50 for 10 years to be able to finance. And you know, think about the headaches of doing these things, the offtake agreement. I'm just talking for traditional silicone manufacturing, okay? Same thing for fumed silica. Barriers to entry, massive. Now, our technology has multiple advantages. In addition to being green, in addition to being, it's also scalable. It follows our philosophy of scalability. Now, why is that important? For a very simplistic reason. Fumed silica, okay, is an extremely light material. So it takes massive volume, but weighs nothing. It weighs absolutely nothing. Now, if you have massive plants to do it, because you go for economies of scale with those investments, you have massive plants, you end up shipping a lot of air, which is expensive because of the volume it takes, not because of the weight, because of the volume it takes. Now, with our technology, and as we said, we're talking about, you know, going commercial probably, I think, 36 months to have 250 ton per reactor being able to do per year, we can situate ourselves right next to our prime clients that want our material, and then we make it much more efficiently. So we fit much better. We fit exactly into the philosophy that's behind repatriation, and all those issues, because there's application in batteries, there's application in medicals, application in everything. That's why I always had a hunch that the fumed silica could become bigger faster. I always wanted this project to reach this point. That's why I'm really excited.
You're saying that currently 50 kilograms per year lab scale, aiming to achieve 50 tons per year within 12 months, and then subsequently 250 tons per year within the next 36 months.
Yeah, per reactor.
Per reactor.
Yeah, because it's going to be small scalable. And so the scaling up that we're doing is within the scope of what's normal for scaling up. So it's not as big of a scaling up, because in the silicone business, we needed massive size, massive investment to go to these size. So we were going for as small as possible, but still big. Fumed silica, we're going to have a nice little business there. And the environmental advantages, and I went and I issued those press releases. You know, I even have to reissue the press release. The only thing I removed was it was all the adjectives where I was very positive on it. But the facts remains the same. It is the fact being that our process will cut CO2 emission by a minimum of 60%, if not more. The feedstock for my competitors in the fumed silica business is 2N silicone metal. I know the price of that material. My feedstock is quartz.
Let me ask a question about the commercial side. In your quote, third-party interest in our produced material have the potential to develop into partnership in our venture, which there's two elements I want to talk here, which could materialize in the form of offtake agreements, positioning them as prospective buyers of our material on commercial scale. But then I also like the furthermore, this evaluation phase could extend to encompass our innovative production process, piquing their interest in adopting our technology as well.
Okay. Every big industrial company in the world, okay, now is looking how to reduce their environmental footprint. Go back to what I keep saying about this technology. And I've said this many, many times over. Okay. If we make a commercially equivalent material, okay, we are in an incredible position. We are in a position to cherry pick with whom we work. Okay. Usually, I've been the number one guy that's been against looking for offtake agreements.
I was going to call you on that because you've always
I've always been against. And the reason why is because when you develop a new technology and there's massive additional CapEx investment before revenues can come in, okay, the guy on the other hand knows it. Okay. In this case, it's completely different. I know that the guys at the other end need my technology. That's why I'm mentioning this.
I'm curious about the phrase piquing their interest in adopting our technology as well. So you must have heard something. They must really
love what they're seeing
right now. That's what I interpret that to mean.
Listen, they're big companies, okay? They're going to be doubting Thomas. They want to test with their own process and their own eyes the material that we're doing. Now, it may come back that, you know, that's why we're testing it on our side. So we know exactly because there's no magical recipe here, okay? But what may happen is that we will get into an exchange of conversation between the parties to say, oh, maybe you should do this. Maybe we should try this. Can you do more samples? So this is why, although in our time frame, we had basically, you know, we were going to wait till the pilot plant was operational to do other material. It may be that the feedback and the demand for the material, because we didn't make that much, the demand for the material may be such that we'll restart to do another run of testing with the lab scale system to produce more material. Not for commercial, but just for entertaining the situation. I hope that we will be very well, very soon. If you've seen the press release, there's an image of the material that's pretty commercial. Okay. I hope that we will be in a position in the coming weeks to have what's known as a technical sheet of what our product is, basically based on our own tests, what this material, which is what every bloody manufacturer does. Okay. So that we can, because I've been approached by one of my contacts in Asia. He says, oh, I know many companies that use that product. Can you send me samples? So to do that, we need to first do our commercial sheet. These are the specifications, and that guy's going to contact his clients. Does this interest you? But then he's going to say, you know, this is zero CO2 material. So it's just another project within HPQ. I think some investors, probably because they were led by the FUD crew, the paid FUD crews that were, you know, issuing a lot of baloney, that, you know, HPQ will live or die by the QRR and live or die by the poor. What this press release today is an utter affirmation, okay, a strong affirmation on my part that's not true. HPQ is a lot more than the QRR. This being said, when we're going to have the QRR pour, it's going to be even more fun. But it's going to be more. But there's more than that. You know, I feel like the infomercial guy in this moment. So say,
There's more.
And there is. If you listen to what I say, okay, HPQ has three strong initiatives. We've only talked really about two. There's still two that are quietly advancing in the background. Silicone anode material for batteries, that's advancing. High pressure hydrogen production on demand, that too is advancing.
And we haven't even heard that much from that. So I can't wait. But let's stick to this. You know my question, and everybody at home watching this or listening to this knows one of my favorite questions is the phone ringing? Is it, and in the press release said, and this should lead to, quote, an increase in demand for samples from third parties eager to evaluate the characteristics of our material. For you to say that, phone ringing?
Yeah, it's ringing. Actually, it's funny because now my agenda reminded me that with regard to one of those ringing, with regard to one of those initiatives, I have a follow-up call pretty soon. It is ringing, okay? But if you look at the fume silica, I have had two of the biggest players come and talk to me.
Wow.
And the third one approached me for something else. So I'm pretty sure we'll end up discussing this about this. So it's like it is ringing, it is moving. The people that need to be seeing this are getting their availability. We're working a lot on creating good visibility that is factual, okay, in the sense that, yeah, we're advancing. We are an R&D company working toward commercialization. And if people listen to what we've said, in addition to the QRR, we'll have something commercial in our anode material for batteries by 2024. We'll have the fume silica commercial 2024 or before, with probably offtake agreement even sooner. So I don't know. It's like it's wow. Still at the it's still at the beginning phase of the discussion. Okay, but you know, when in the documentation it is said, you know, we're going to be discussing to see if we can become a supplier, you basically feel pretty comfortable.
Can you say that again? By the way, what you said about a minute ago, two of the biggest players.
Oh yeah, that one. Yeah, sure. But no, it's the industries I'm on, from silicone, okay, to fume silica, all right, are industries that are controlled either by massive companies, all right, that have significant market shares, or producers in Asia, or China, more specifically. So there's a limited number of these size of company. You know, it's like at the beginning, they're few, but they're big. And it's always when an industry is mature, that's where it is. Now, history has demonstrated that mature industries evolution does not come from internally, unless the company really has a structure, a philosophy, and a history of looking at those things. But most of them will look. It's a bit like mining, okay? Mining companies, big mining companies, don't usually find a big deposit. They let the other ones develop them and come into it. So if I can make an analogy to mining, which is an area I've sort of understood, okay, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's the same thing in the medical field. All right.
Devil's advocate. Hmm? How can a small team like what you've got? I have to be a devil's advocate a little bit. How can a small team deliver so much and handle so much? You know, what are we missing here in this analysis?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. That's a point sometimes I get asked. How do you guys manage to do this? Because in reality, we're more than three, okay? But officially, we're a three. And the reason for that is all part of my business. My business model that I implemented. Okay, I have my board members that assist. I have members of my board that are assistant. They're there. I use them. I have consultants. I have my own team, and gradually I'm scaling up. But what I've done and what I've followed and the logic I've discovered, one of the biggest logic I've discovered is the more money you have, the more stupidity you do. So I always look to run a very, very tight ship. You're going to have to grow, but you're going to run a tight ship. So I wasn't interested at the beginning at building a big R&D team internally because, A, I'm not an R&D expert. Now, having done this for the number of years I'm doing it, okay, I've become very, very good at attracting top talent to work with us. The guys at Apollon that moved over to become Novation, that's a top talent. Those guys, you know, anybody could have worked with them. And anybody would have loved to be able to have the opportunity I had.
The gentleman we grabbed last month?
Oh, no, that's another guy.
I know.
That's another guy. But that comes through my relationship I've developed with the guys at Apollon that decided that wanted to do something autonomously and could be helpful to me and to HPQ. And now it's working very, very well. Okay. So yes, on paper, we're only three. Okay. But we're much more than that. Like if we count, and that's one of the things I've done is I've studied the failures of mining companies that dream of becoming technology companies.
I remember when we first met, you talked, we went through a list of them that, because back in the mid 2000s, there are two or three that just, and they're Quebec, at least a couple of them Quebec, that just blew up because they tried to make that move and they tried to do all the R&D themselves. And they just, and you
one
said,
of the biggest, one of the biggest mistakes they do is they listen to the swan song of Bay Street and of retail investors. And they listen to the swan song when the stock goes up, think everything's going to work out. Like that has nothing to do. You have to have a good business plan that makes sense, that's executing. And then people will come and realize, oh, there's value there. And that's what we're doing at HPQ. So that's that's why I partnered up with Pyrogenesis. Okay. Instead of me building a big R&D, I basically borrow, use. We made it a financial transaction where I pay 100% of the cost for the project that they're doing for 90% of the revenue stream, and it's paying up in stride. You know, we have the QRR, we have the fumed silicon. Now we've reached a certain level of maturity where we can afford to have the teams of Novacium working for us, helping us with the QRR, the technology we're doing, but also taking care of the silicon anode battery materials that we're working on, and they're bringing to us the hydrogen solution. So I think it's a fair deal. And I think HPQ, as I said, three initiative, all of these initiatives, and I've said that I still believe this, any one of those three initiatives could support the market cap that we had when it was crazy time, when we had really nothing.
Very quickly, because I know you got to go off to your meeting, and that's more important than me. We got a few minutes, but I want to make sure I got a couple of questions in. Where does, if this is a video game, or, you know, sometimes you go to the exit, you go to the county fair and you got the cars racing beside each other. Where does fumed silica fit in the grand picture now? Is it almost moving into first place? Is it, where does it fit into the grand picture now at HPQ?
I think it's now one of the big horses in the sense that I have a clearer path. Not that I don't have a clearer path, I have a clearer, faster path to commercialization without technology, right? QRR will take time, but will be a massive winner. Silicon for battery anodes is coming very soon, but we're still doing some work internally, so we're not really divulging it. Hydrogen is going to come, it's going to come roaring from the back. It might start running after fumed silica. It is those things. So the key point is HPQ has built a portfolio of green technology. Like one of the meetings I was having today was with a group of investors that are interested through European funds and private money also at investing in technology to do green engineering like we're doing. And let's say that the hour meeting went very, very well and their jaws were dropping when I was talking about what we were doing.
What are your expectations of where this can go, the fumed silica side? I know you can't get projections, but and I say that because this seems like one of the most confident press releases you've ever put out.
Well, if you say it's my most confident and you understand where I am, where I feel about this project, okay? It's not going to be a straight line. There's going to be a diversion, but we're heading in the right direction.
Last question.
Yeah.
How long will this testing period with the third party take? Ballpark. I'm not asking for an exact date, but is it 2 months? Is it 6 months? Ballpark. How much of a rigorous testing?
I'll go the reverse way, because the testing they're doing are going to be pretty similar to the tests we've done. And on our side, it took us, 45 to 50 days. And we're still actually waiting for one last test to be done. Because there was the microscope one. There was another one where we knew we were making commercial. There's a last test that we're waiting. So It's taking us 45 to 50 days to get on our side. I assume they're going to be faster because they probably got a much better laboratory than anybody else.
So at the latest by Halloween, potentially, I'm not holding you to that, but
yeah, but you're not going to be holding.
Well, we should have some really good feedback by then, and even a much clearer picture, I'm presuming.
Yeah, well, but remember, okay, this is sort of like this is a commodity, right? If you meet the criteria,
you're in.
It's not like a specific product that just no, this.
They're using it already. You're not convincing them to use a different product. You're just saying, take a look at mine. It's greener, cheaper.
Basically, take a look at mine for the same price or a bit more. You're basically going to cut your carbon footprint by 70%. Look at Europe, the tax of carbon. Is it really a no-brainer?
It sounds like a no-brainer. It sounds like it. Buddy, I'm going to let you go because you got about 5 minutes. In 10 seconds, how happy should shareholders be today?
Well, long-term shareholders should be very happy that we're executing on our plan. And that's what we're doing.
All right, buddy. Thanks, man. Good luck with your call. I'm not going to do the typical sign-off. I'm just going to say thanks to all HPQ shareholders, the loyal shareholders that have been with us along the way. I hope you're even happier today. And the crazy part is we're not even out of August yet. Everybody in this industry is doing barbecues, laying low. I had a couple of clients tell me, George's not putting out any major press releases now in August. We're going to wait till September and things like that. And here you are, just racking them off one at a time. Thanks, Bernard. Good luck on your call.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Thanks, bye.
Hey guys, this podcast is over. But don't forget to help your company by liking it or even leaving a comment. And then, don't forget to help yourself by following us on Spotify, Google, Apple, or on your favorite podcast platform so you will never miss another one great Agora Gomez Small Cap podcast.